some things that you and I need to give up to go up higher. And I don't know if you want to or not. If you do, if you take notes and you don't have anything to write down with, I ask Aaron to run up, grab a case. We have these City Church notepads. If you want one to write on tonight, she's going to give you one. I don't want to just, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But if you do, put your hand up in the air, and they'll bring one to you and give it. Because these, even if you jotted these down quickly, what's he doing over there? Well, you do use your mouth. I meant that in a great way. She's, yeah. I hope you didn't take that in any other way, of course. You know, I came in here tonight as Ryan was saying that, you know, he loves coming in the house of the Lord. Every time I come here, I feel there's over there. You see that? Yep, good. Every time I come, I feel such an honor to stand up here and share God's word. I never take it lightly. You'd think, some people say, are you used to it? Is it normal? It's not normal. Every time I do it, I feel like almost it's the first time that I've ever done it. I don't know if I just feel very honored. I feel honored tonight. Share God's living word is such a privilege. It really is. So, Father, tonight I pray that as God, as best that I can, as humanity, to share what divinity gives, I pray that you will take it, you'll use it, you'll bless it, you bring life to all those that hear it tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm just going to give you these 10 thoughts tonight, and I won't be long, but this is interesting to me. I had a conversation with a pastor friend this past week, and he shared with me something that I'm actually going to share the first Sunday after Christmas. I think that's the 27th. About 6 people that you need in your life to find your destiny. And when we were talking about it, it was so intriguing to me. And I'm always, I am a kind of person that I'm looking for things that I can hang my hat on and just, oh, yes, that's good. Oh, yeah, I want that. So that's why I have these points tonight. Number one, you and I, we need to give up pretending that you have to be who you used to be. Think about that. You have to give up pretending that you have to be who you used to be. Even when times are tough, even when things are not going the way you think they should, even when you're going through a struggle, one of the hardest decisions that you'll ever have to make in your life is when to stay put and struggle harder than you had to from a time gone by. You have to understand that. And sometimes you and I, we have to step out of the person that we've been to become the person that we were meant to be. Hear that now. That is so good. To be the person you are capable of being. And for a lot of us, we haven't touched that yet. I sat with Pastor Tommy Reed today. He's 83 years old, and he's saying, I'm just really wanting to put my hands around the destiny that God has for my life. I'm sitting there. The man's 83. He's preached all over the world. He's had influence with leaders everywhere. And he's telling me that. I'm feeling, dear Lord, where does that leave me tonight? You got to move past that. You got to give up pretending that you have to be who you used to be to get where you have to go. Number two, give up berating. This is so important, and somebody really needs to hear this. Give up berating yourself for everything that you are not. Stop that. Quit saying, well, I'm no good because I'm not this, or I can't do that because I'm not this, and I'll never be this person because I'm no good at that. You and I need to learn to be kind to ourselves in our thoughts, in our words, and in our action, as we are kind to others. You know what I found out? Something in life, that people that are not kind to others are not kind to themselves. Extend yourself this courtesy. Learn to love you. Learn to love the person that God has created you to be. And when I say that, I'm not telling you to love the negative things that swell up in our lives sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about loving who God has created you to be. Because every single person here, God has created you to be something incredible, something beautiful, something perfect. Beyond your mistake, beyond your failure, beyond your weaknesses, He has created you for something incredible. You are not a mistake. You are an awesome person. And you need to learn to love that person and not bring the pain and the misery and identify who you are by that. Quit lowering yourself. Quit talking down to yourself. Quit acting that way. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you. Why? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. What works? The works that He has done by creating you. You are wonderful. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. And then he says, and I know that full well. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. That doesn't mean that you're not perfect. That has nothing to do with that. But who God has created you to be is absolutely incredible. Ephesians 5:29 says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Take care of you. And sometimes you got to begin on the way you think about yourself. Quit tearing yourself down. Listen to me. Hear it now. Talk yourself up. Who God has created you to be. Work through the fears and the insecurities. Speak honestly. And don't get angry. And don't scream at other people who you care about. Don't get upset. Listen, I'm speaking from a position of knowledge. I used to have a miserable temper when I was younger. And I'm not proud of it. I feel terrible because of it. I said some things that I wish I never would have said. Thank God my wife loved me through it. And by the way, yesterday her and I celebrated 38 years together. Despite of all of my foolishness and stupidity and ignorance. But deal with it. Grow beyond that. Don't let that define who you are. When people say, well, that's just the way I am, that is a cop-out. That's not the way you are. That's the way you have lived a life and you have practiced certain things, but you can practice your way out of that. Stop looking in that way. Mark 12:31, the second is equally important. You know that scripture when the disciples asked Jesus, what's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. The second is like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And He said, no other commandment is greater than these. Got to learn to do that. Quit talking down to yourself. Quit doing it. Because if you're doing it to you, you're doing it to someone else. If you're doing it to you, you're doing it to your spouse. You're doing it in your family. Stop it. Stop doing that. Give it up. Number three, give up regretting and holding on to what happened in the past. You've got to move beyond that. 2 Corinthians 7:10. And I'm reading out of, I have three different versions today, maybe four. The English Standard Version, the New International Version, the New King James, and the King James. I use which one I like, what it says, what I'm trying to convey. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation, look at that, without regret. Without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death, pain, agony. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Wishing you hadn't acted or done something never takes the place of the power that salvation will bring to your life. When a man is born again, old things are passed away, and behold, everything continually becomes new. When you stay stuck in the regret of your life, and you think you should have and you end up missing the beauty of what you can become because you're held down in that. You're stuck in that regret. And you got to give that up. You got to move past that. You got to quit holding on to things that are gone a long time ago. And thank God for even the people in your life that walked away from you because they made room for the ones in your life that won't leave you. I've learned in my life, when people walk away from me, I don't get mad at them. I don't have to talk bad about them. I don't do anything. I pray for them. If I see them again, I show love to them. And a lot of times, they don't know what to say or do because when they leave me, they usually talk bad about me. Oh, that's okay. That's not going to affect me. I'm going home with a blonde tonight. Amen. But every new beginning comes from another beginning's end. You got to learn to move ahead. I love the scripture here, Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Look at that. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can get up tomorrow. You could have had a terrible day today. Everything could have been bad. But you can get up. You can give that up. And you can apprehend the brand new day that God has for you in the morning. I love that. Number four. Give up getting caught up in the negativity surrounding you. This is very important. You ever notice with some people, they are attracted like a magnet to steel to anything that's negative or people that talk negative? You need to give that up. Don't get caught in that. Titus 3:10 says, as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, don't have nothing to do with him. Hear that? This is so important. This is going to help you go up to another level. You say, well, those people are all my friends. I've had people tell me, that's all my friends are like that. I say, you need new friends. You need to look at that. Check that out. Listen to that. A person that stirs up division, you warn them once and then twice, and then stay away from them. Don't let that come into your life. Because whatever you expose yourself to is what you become. Philippians 4:8 says, brothers, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Think and focus on these things. Make that a part of who you are on a regular basis. When we choose to emphasize our lives, what we choose to emphasize our lives on will determine how we live. Did you hear that? What we choose to focus on, it will determine how we are going to live. If we're always looking for the worst, guess what? It'll destroy our capacity to be the best. And God wants to lift you up from that. You don't have to sit around and wait for something perfect to come along. You don't have to wait for everything to be perfect for you to believe that God has something great. You need to start believing it right now. Stop. Give up that negativity. Stay away from that. Don't let that become a part of who you are. And if that is you, and if that's what you are doing and how you're living, I just pray right now that God will he'll disconnect you from that and help you to begin to speak things, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is just, a good report. Think on these things. Talk about these things. Set your heart, your mind on these things. I had a friend years ago, he's telling me he pulled into a gas station, and it was before they had covers over the gas station, and it was a full serve, but when he pulled up, it was pouring rain, and the guy, he didn't come out of it, and so this man got out of his car. He said, oh, I'll just pump my own gas, and the man on the other side of the pumps, he was over there, and it was raining on him. He was so mad, he just started swearing and cussing and saying how bad that guy was and everything, and the man that pulled up after him, he heard that. He was a Christian. He thought, well, I'm not going to sit here and let that. He says, he's given the enemy glory. I'm going to give God glory. And he just got out and started saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the man said, what are you doing? He said, you're praising your God and I'm praising mine. Number five, give up thinking that everyone else has it easier than you do. Can you read that up there? Did you hear that? Stop thinking that everyone has it easier than you. When times get tough, remember this. Nothing that's good or worthwhile will ever come to you easy. John 16:33, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Quit thinking that everybody else has it easier than you. Oh, if you knew what I had to go through, oh, if you did that. Oh, I've had it hard. Oh, this is bad, that's bad. Yeah, could be. It could be. Life might not be fair to you, but it won't get any better unless you and I make a decision to give that kind of conversation up and that mindset in our lives and move forward with a plan that God has for you. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself. Where? In your problems, in your lack, what you don't think you have. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. I love that scripture. 1 Peter 5:7. He says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Give that thinking up. Quit acting like that. It's Christmas. Begin to embrace what God has done for your life. Forget it. Say, well, I don't have enough Christmas presents. Forget that. You've got the best gift that you ever could have. Give it up so that you can go up higher in him. Number 6, this is important. Give up wanting to be where others are in their life. Give that up. You look at somebody, you don't know what they had to go through to get to where they're at. And if that's all you're thinking about, and you let jealousy come in and you're comparing them, it doesn't move you further ahead to improve your situation. It does not. In fact, it'll keep you stuck in that spot even longer than you ever anticipated. Stop wanting what others have and where they are in their life. You know something? God's got something very unique and perfect for your life. He really does. He has an assignment for you that is addressed and waiting for you to pick up and do. Whatever that may be. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. I know that. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Quit comparing. Quit wishing that you had what somebody else has. Quit doing that because it fuels inadequacy in your life. It fuels shame and it ultimately just keeps you stuck in the spot. And you'll never go higher than that. If all you're doing is wishing what someone else has. Man, you know, I'm old enough now and I'm not that old. Wayne, I love you. The rest of you are slow. But I've been around guys that used to say, well, I want... If I can, you know, in what I do as a pastor, and I've heard guys say, oh, if I could have this and if I could do that. And they lose the blessing that God has for them right where they're at right now. God's called you to something great. He's called you to something beautiful. Enjoy what it is that he's called you to and enjoy the pathway that he wants to use you in to get you to where he wants to take you. Amen. And your life is not meant to look like anybody else's life. You are an original. No fingerprint is, no two are alike. You are a person. You have your own unique ways and mindsets and dreams and needs. And you are different. You are who you are. You are. And every one of you are different. And so... And I love, some people, you know, they get upset about diversity and difference. And I just kind of happen to like it. I laugh at it. I, you know, sometimes it bothers me. I mean, I could tell you things. You know, my wife, she's got, maybe I said this already. She has a cleaner house than anybody I know. But I'm telling you, when she comes home at night, she will leave her shoes right where 99% of people walk through there. And if it's dark, I'll trip over them shoes. She's been doing it for 38 long years, praise the Lord. But she's unique. She's different. She is, that's her. I mean, I could just think about it. We don't want, I don't necessarily, well, I want her to change that a little bit, but that makes her special. Your life isn't meant to look like anyone. Now, she could get up here and tell you a whole lot of things about me. She's not going to, for two reasons. I'm not going to let her. That's number one. But if you're always wishing that you were like somebody else, you'll never end up where you're supposed to go. This is tight, but it's right. Trust that you're in the right place at the right time. You're doing the right thing, even if it's a tough time. You know what? God is using it to work something great out in your life. Come on, somebody needs to hear that tonight. Even if you are in a tough time, you say, oh, I hate this. I want to get out of this. I want to get beyond this. If you'll trust God in it, he'll do something so great in and through your life, you can't even believe how you'll come out of that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Trust him right where you're at. Number 7, give up letting the judgment of strangers control you. People know your name, but they don't know your story. I love that. I had a guy tell me, and I'll never forget it. He said, don't judge my harvest until you've examined my seed. You ought to write that down. Don't judge my harvest until you've examined my seed. You don't know what somebody went through to enjoy the harvest that they're enjoying now. They've heard what you've done, but most people don't understand what you've been through to get to where you're at. So be cautious of others' opinions of you. In the end, it's not what others think about you. It's what God says about you. And listen to this. It's what you think about you. It's what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart. What? What? Say it again. So is he. You think it, you become that. You let that drive who you become. And sometimes what's right for you is different than what everyone else thinks about you. Well, if I had a nickel for every time that I felt God tell me that I should do something. You know, when we lived in Seattle, Washington years ago, and I really felt the Lord, you know, tell us that he was closing that we were supposed to move back here. I'll never forget it. I had this guy, he says, I want to meet with you. He was a so-called leader in the church where I was at. He said, I want to meet with you. I can remember where we went. I can remember the table that if I went to Seattle today, I'd know right where we are. And he looked at me. He said, I want to tell you something. He pointed his finger at me. He says, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. I said, I am? He said, yes. You're not to go back there. You're to stay here. And I thought, you know, that's a few years ago now. That's 20, a little over 20 years ago. And he looked at me and he said, you're to stay here. God spoke to me. And I just love that when people, they got to qualify what they say. God spoke to me. Really? Well, I said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. And, you know, the strange thing, the unfortunate thing today is the guy doesn't even serve the Lord. He's been married twice and he's living single and living away from God. And I thought, I'm going to let a stranger come up and tell me the direction that God has for my life. I do not think so. Galatians 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Jesus. Now, I said that, and it's in the scripture. There is a level that we need to listen to people. But be careful about strangers in your life just coming up to you and giving you their opinion. Are you good with that? Give up letting the judgment of strangers control who you are. Number eight, got two more. Give up letting toxic relationships bring you down on a daily basis. Not all toxic relationships are agonizing and uncaring on purpose. Some of them people are, it's just the way they are. They haven't got up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to pick Nate Crawford and I'm just going to be miserable to him and I'm going to tell him and tear him down. People just get up and it is the way they are. Some people that are toxic even have good intentions. But their toxic attitude and lifestyle and their communication will force you to compromise who you are and who you are to become. Got to watch it. You got to let that go. You got to let some of them go. They may not be bad people, but if they're toxic and they're having a negative effect on you, and you know that, you know who that, even when I say that, for some of you that have that in your life right now, you know who that is. For some of you, it could even be a family member. Could be just influencing you in a negative way. You need to separate yourself from that in a loving way, in a kind way. You can't allow that to dictate who you are and who you become. 1 Corinthians 15:33, one of the favorite scriptures that I use raising my kids. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good people, good character. Can't lay down with dogs and not think you're going to get up with fleas. It's just going to happen. You hear me? Hello? Number nine, we're giving up the go up. Give up overthinking and worrying about everything. How many of you have the gift of overthinking and worrying? Whoa, easy here. Think it through. I mean, you just think it 14 ways how it can't work. And your fear and your anxiety, you look too deep into things. And it just, oh my goodness, and it creates problems. And you think and you think and you think. And you think yourself right out of the happiness at the moment that God is calling you to enjoy. This can't be good. This can't be right. And worrying does not take away trouble in your life. It does not. It's like a rocking chair. You get a lot of movement, you just don't go nowhere. It'll take away today's peace. It'll take away the potential for tomorrow. And life is too short for you to always go around just overthinking things and worrying and wondering and being frustrated. Listen, trust the Lord. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything. Those of you that raised your hand, you need to get this down in you and you need to make this a matter of prayer in your life. You're going to shorten your life with that. My mother was one of the biggest worriers. I really think it contributed to everything else in her life, but it contributed to her losing her life at a younger age. Worry about everything. Give that up. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. Listen, learn to cast that on God. I read it earlier. Cast all your care on Him. He cares for you. Give that up. Give it up. Stop overthinking and worrying about everything. And last, number 10, give up believing you're not strong enough to move forward. Give that up. It's always possible for you to move ahead, no matter how hard it seems right now. Even in the challenging times, the lessons of the challenge may not completely go away, but you're moving forward. Take a breath. You're going to make it. Most of us have been there. We've survived it. You can too. The feelings of that, if you don't give them up, they can go so deep in you. They can just stop you from going forward in your life. But you have to, if you're going to go up, you got to give up that belief that you can't move forward, that you can't go on, because you can go on. They're painful, they're draining, and maybe not immediately. I'm a faith guy. I believe in faith. The just shall live by faith. We live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But I don't believe that if I lay my hand on you, and when I take my hand off, I've seen God do it a few times. But the pain and the trouble just isn't going to go away. Some people create issues and trouble for 10 years, and then they think one trip to the altar or half a dozen trips into a church through a church doors are going to eradicate what they have lived in for years and years of their life. It doesn't work that way. Are you okay with me telling you that? I don't want to lie to you or discourage you, but I want to tell you the truth. You got to process through it and step out of it and give that up. Galatians 2:20. I put this down in the King James Version because that's the way I studied it and remembered it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. God is in you. He's with you. You're not on your own. You're not doing it in your own strength. You can move past where you're at, and you can give it up to go up higher in him tonight. Amen? Amen. That's it. That's it. Look at your neighbor and say, that's it. That's all done. Did you get anything out of that? You gain something on that tonight? Amen. So Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your people. I thank you for the truth. I do want to take every one of us. This is going to be 2016 is going to be a tremendous year. I pray, God, that dreams that aren't even born yet will begin to come to pass. And Lord, you'll speak things into the hearts and the lives of your people. Families will be restored and healed and move together as one, serving you. And Lord, houses that now have strife and challenge within the walls of their home, God, that 2016 will be the beginning of new joy and peace in that home, God. God, for those who are suffering with the pain of their past, Lord, you have forgiven to all who ask for it. You forgive them, and Lord, you are delivering them from the hold and the clutches of that it has on their life. I pray, God, that as we end this year strong, that, Lord, we will move into the next year with great hope and anticipation of what you have intended to do in our lives. I ask you, Lord, that this will be a year of incredible breakthrough, incredible favor upon your people, and great peace upon every one of them, God. We thank you for it, Lord. I pray protection over their families tonight. I pray blessing over each one that is here tonight. I pray blessing. I declare blessing over you tonight. The favor of God as you lie down, as you rise up, as you walk in the way. I pray that whatsoever things that you lay your hands upon, that God will cause them to prosper and to multiply in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love you. Go, come on, don't run out the door. Stop in the back there and meet somebody. Have a coffee or a water. Grab a cookie. God, take every calorie and fat gram out of the cookie.